This morning, I'd like for us to talk a little bit about the fact that when God was laying out plans for mankind, when he had Noah build the ark, he laid out a plan for Noah to use, and Noah used that plan. When he laid out the task for the temple to be built, he laid out a task and the way that the temple was to be built. And Solomon followed the blueprint, the pattern that God had for him to build that temple. And in the New Testament, Paul writes to the Romans and he talked about the fact that they followed the form of teaching for them to obey and become Christians. It makes me nervous when Lowell goes back there. Had to look back. But they became Christians by following that form of teaching, Romans 6, verse 16 to 18. And I'll suggest to you that there are forms and patterns, and that helped. I think I can even see better. Thank you. And that helped them to follow the patterns in the Bible of the teaching that was there. I would suggest to you that Satan also has a pattern that he is following. And there are people in the world of Christendom today that would suggest to you that Satan's not real. That it's just us having inclination to doing things that are wrong. And so we're going to look at a few passages that talk about the fact that Satan's real. Now, we don't have a lot of time this morning, and this is certainly not meant to be an exhaustive study within itself. But everything that's real is not made out of wood or steel. There is a spiritual world of which we know very little about, I think. And I think Satan is a part of that spiritual world. When the body dies, our soul passes into eternity. And I think the fact that you're here this morning suggests that you believe in a hereafter. That you believe in the soul of man. And those that have been with people that are ill, that have passed away, you see this vibrant human being pass into eternity. And the fact that their soul has passed from their body. They have gone to the hereafter. And I think that fact suggests that we believe that there is more than just this physical that we believe in. As we look at the Bible, 2 Corinthians 11:3-4, Paul writes and he says, "But I fear lest somehow as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. But what I do, I will also continue to do, that I may cut off the opportunity for those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the things of which they boast. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an apostle of light." And there he's talking about Satan. He says, "Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their work." So he mentions the fact that Satan exists, and he mentions the fact that Satan has ministers. I'm going to suggest to you this morning that Satan has a plan for you as Christians. He has a plan for you individually. Jesus said in John 10:10, "The thief," and he's talking about Satan, he mentions him, "the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." That's John 10:10. And then in Luke 22, he mentions the fact that Satan is real, because he's talking about Peter, he's talking about the crucifixion. He says, and he's talking in a conversation to Peter, and he says, "Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you." Now, where did this conversation take place? I don't know. I think it's somewhere in the spiritual realm. Now, Jesus gives testimony to this. He says, "Simon, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." So Jesus sees into the future. He sees that Satan wants Simon, Peter, and that Simon is going to fail him. And he sees that Peter will repent and come back. And when he does so, to strengthen the brethren. He sees all this ahead of time. Where is this taking place? In the spirit world, in the spiritual realm. Revelation says, and I love passages in Revelation, because especially the ones that point to the cross, because the ones in Revelation that point to the cross talk about the fact that here's where the victory occurred. That's already stuff that's happened. That's where the victory was won. There's a commentary on Revelation called "Worthy is the Lamb" by Ray Summers. I don't always agree with his conclusions, but I love the title because it talks about the fact that worthy is the Lamb. The Lamb is Jesus. The Lamb conquered everything and all things by the cross. But he says in Revelation 12, verse 9 through 11, "So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." Now, I'm not going into exactly when this took place, but I'm pointing out from Revelation here that the devil and Satan and the angels that he has are real, are real. 1 John 5:19. It says that we know we are of God. And I don't know that the devil wears a hoodie either. I don't. That's just a picture. "We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one." Why does the world lie under the sway of the wicked one? I would suggest to you that because the world is not interested in the things of the Spirit, but they lie under the sway of Satan and the things that he wants. 1 Peter, a passage that you're probably familiar with, he says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." Now, I've got a habit. I love to watch YouTube videos. I watch them of Clint gives me motorcycle guitar videos, and I watch motorcycle videos, just guys going for a ride. Some of the boringest videos you ever seen. These guys will put these little cameras on their helmet, and they'll just ride around. And I just watch that stuff. And I watch the ones of guitar players. He gives me some of those. And then some of the African safaris. I watch some of those videos. The passage in Daniel that talked about the lions crushing the bones of those people that were thrown into the lion's den. I used to think, well, that's kind of just a very descriptive terminology of the way it just crushed their bones before they even hit the bottom of the den. I thought, well, that's probably just descriptive type terms. I'm not so sure it is. Watch some of those African safaris and some of the ways that the lions behave. He's saying this is what the devil is like. But when he says be sober, this is the New King James. And I can't remember what the King James uses right here. But even the New King James, when we say be sober, we tend to think of somebody that's under the influence. So I put the New Century Version in there, which says control yourself. Control yourself and be careful. And be careful. The devil, your enemy, goes around like a roaring lion looking for someone to eat. You know, that's the way that verse really means it in today's world. When you go out into the world, We need to control ourselves, and we need to be careful. We need to be careful as we go among our daily walk, because the devil, who is our enemy, is like a roaring lion. He's looking to gobble us up. Now, that's just the current common vernacular. He would like nothing better than to gobble us up. That's what that passage is talking about. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy, Jesus said. First off, we know that Satan is real. Now, this is one of the parable of the tares. We're not going to take the time to study it. I just put it up there, Matthew 13, 37 to 39. And just looking at our time, as much as I've got here, we're not going to spend that much time. But secondly, Satan and his messengers seek to seduce men away from God through lies. Genesis 3, John 8, 44, 2 Corinthians 11, 14. In the account with Adam and Eve, God said, "In the day you eat, you will die." What's Satan say? He said exactly what God said, except one three-letter word. He said, "You will not surely die." Easy to change. You will not surely die. Thirdly, the world is under the influence of the wicked one. 1 John 5:19, John 8:34 to 47. And we know that he can be resisted. James 4:7, 1 Peter 5:9, and 1 Corinthians 10:13. We'll look at these passages a little more in just a second. Excuse me. He can be overcome. Ephesians 6, 10 through 18, Revelation 12, 9 through 11, and John 8, 32. If we look at some of these passages, Satan, we'll look at some of these, does some things. He steals from you and he robs you of certain things. First off, according to Acts 17, he steals your proper identity. And as a result of stealing your identity, what does he do? He takes your inheritance from you. Turn to Acts 17. Acts 17. In this account, Paul is talking about to the men of Athens. And let's focus on verse 31. And I would encourage you to read this entire account when you have chance. In Acts 17, verse 31, verse 30, let's get a little context. He said, "Truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead." What is an inheritance? It's something that you get as a result of somebody passing away. Somebody leaves you something really good. I think it was it class that you were talking about, Larry, where people were talking about saving up to leave something to their kids and stuff a while back. Well, Jesus passed away. He was on the cross. He lives forever. And he has left you an inheritance. It's heaven. And he went to prepare you a place. But Satan is doing everything he can to take your inheritance. He would like nothing better to rob you of your inheritance. He also would like to steal your influence. In Matthew 5:13 to 16, Jesus talks about the fact that people that follow him are the salt of the earth. And he talks about the influence that they have. I have known people that have lived Christian lives for 50, 60 years, and then as a result of allowing Satan to influence them, their posterity is gone because of something that has influenced them as a result of Satan. And you probably do too. And this section is, Satan is a thief. Those are things he wants to take from you. Satan would like to steal your time, your gifts. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13 talks about the whole duty of man is to serve God. That's our purpose. But yet, so much of the time, our purpose is put toward other things. And he would like to rob you of your purpose. He would like to steal your spiritual values. Matthew 13 talks about this, 18 to 23. Robbing you of the fruit that you would produce in your life. He would like to take that from you. He would like to steal from you your peace. Ephesians 2, 14 through chapter 3 and verse 21 talks about this. You know, as a Christian, I hate to break the news to you, but you know what? As young as some of these people are, they're going to get old. And I see these cute little boys, and I just loved watching them this morning. But you know what? They're going to get old. I'm sorry to break the news to you. I am. And y'all are going to get old. And you know what? I look at myself in the mirror and I'm thinking, who is that old man? Who in the world is that guy? How did he get so fat and old? Where'd that hair go? How did I gain so much weight? It's because Larry made me eat so much breakfast yesterday. And then I ate lunch and supper last night. And then that evil place in Texas that produces that Bluebell ice cream called to me last night. If they had stayed closed, I would not have eaten Bluebell ice cream. Because Blue Bunny ice cream is not as good as Bluebell ice cream. I'm here to tell you, and I'll preach that till the day I die. But I will tell you this, Bluebell Bunny Tracks is good. But not as good as Bluebell. But if you take Magic Shell and put it on it, that's good stuff. But you're going to die. But I'm going to tell you what, as bad as it gets on earth, if you serve the Lord, you will have eternal life. But Satan wants to take that from you. He wants to rob your joy in this life of your eternal life. I have been at the bedside of people that passed away. Not once have I ever been at the bedside of somebody that said, you know, I served the Lord for 30, 40 years. And I wasted my time. I wasted my time. I wished I'd went out and got drunk and chased women and been an alcoholic and shot drugs or whatever they do to drugs. What do they do with drugs anymore? Do they snort them, shoot them? I don't even know. I hope y'all don't either. But you know, there, I don't remember a single person saying, you know, I wish I'd drunk more. I wish I'd got drunk more on Saturday night and threw up. That was so much fun. Do y'all know anybody like that? I don't. When I was in the military, I got to Germany, and I was in this... I probably told this story before, but bear with me because, you know, I forget that stuff anymore. But, you know, before I could get my private room in the barracks, I was right in this room, and on the other side of the wall was the what we called it in the military. I hope you don't think this is too terrible. Y'all may have to wait a while before you go eat lunch. The latrine. And all these guys on Saturday night would go out drinking. Well, you know, they'd grab for all the gusto they could get. Well, when they would come back in about 2 or 3 in the morning, they were giving their gusto back. And I was laying there on my bunk, and all I could hear was, "Roar! Roar!" And try to sleep when that's going on. That was terrible. I heard the return of much gusto. That's the life of Satan. That's what he'll try to steal from you. Your sincere faith, Romans 5:1-5. He'll rob you of the hope that you have. Turn to Romans 5. That's one we've got to look at. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, a lot of times when we talk about hope, it's not the kind of hope that, you know, I hope if I go down to Murfreesboro, Arkansas, and dig for a diamond, I come up with a diamond bigger than the Hope Diamond. That's not the kind of hope that we're talking about. Because if you go down there, I hope you find that kind of diamond too. But look at verse 5. This kind of hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. I like that kind of hope. That kind of hope does not disappoint you. That's good hope. You know, we can have hoped that Arkansas was still in that baseball tournament, but they weren't. We could have hoped that... And I watched talkie the other night, and I don't know what's going on, but it's just nonstop action, and I kept hoping for that team from Nashville to win. And they got beat really bad. And tonight after church, I'm going to go home and watch them. I don't know what's going on. I just know that it's fun because they're just out there working. Everybody, you know, and I'm going to root for that team from Nashville, but I don't know what's going on. I'm going to hope that they make it. But I got a chance, I got a feeling they're going to get beat. But this hope from the Bible, this hope will not disappoint you. Why? Because Jesus will deliver you. He will deliver you. We got to move. Jude 21. He's going to try to steal your salvation. He's going to try to steal eternal life from you. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. Satan is a murderer. Satan is the enemy of truth and life. By a lie, he brought spiritual and physical death to mankind. We've already talked about that. People say, well, and they try to get theological with you. I've had people do that. Well, when Adam and Eve sinned, did they die physically or spiritually? And I always say, uh-huh. And they say, what? I say, uh-huh. And they say, no, I'm asking you, did they die physically or spiritually? And anymore, I say, uh-huh. They died both. They may have not died that individual day, but they started to die and they died spiritually. The whole thing was messed up. He continues to distort the truth and seeks to lead people away from God, 2 Corinthians 4:3-4. And by separating us from God by sin, we die spiritually. Isaiah 59:1-2, Ezekiel 18:20-32, James 1:13-15, and Romans 6:23. Satan is a destroyer, Philippians 3:19. We'll pause here just for a second on this passage. Satan is a destroyer. 2 Thessalonians 1:8-9. Chris used this passage last week. It's a passage that I have read and used often before. And again, it had been a while since I read it. Last week when Chris read it, something hit me there. Two things about this passage. He's talking about the second coming of Jesus. And he says, he's writing to the Thessalonians. He's talking about Jesus' return in flaming fire, taking vengeance on two things: those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They'll be punished with everlasting destructions for the presence of the Lord and for the glory of His power. In the first century, they took the gospel to the whole world. Colossians 1:13, there are some other passages that talk about that. You might think, well, that's awful stern of the Lord. People have never heard of Him to punish him. But yet, in the first century, Jesus said, take the gospel to the whole world. And you know what they did? They did it. They got it done. And he said, every generation hereafter, you share the good news. And you know what? They took it serious until here lately. We don't talk about that no more. It don't get done. That's the reason he said, do it. Because it's important. God's holiness demands the gospel be shared. He demands that we repent. Ruin, loss of well-being, the state of eternal separation from the presence of the Lord. Matthew 25:41-46. Then he'll say to those on the left, "Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire." It's a sad deal. It's a sad deal. The holiness of God demands retribution for sin. Sad thing. Should make us cry. Should break our heart. Should spur us into action over those who are lost. God has a plan. He says, "I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly." Revelation. The great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before God day and night, has been cast down." I love that passage because he's saying, that's been done. He did it for you. Satan has been defeated by Calvary's conquest. Matthew 20:28, 26:28, Ephesians 1:7, Colossians 1:14-20, 1 John 2:2, and Revelation 7:14. We can overcome Satan through God's provision, his grace, mercy, love, strength, his kingdom and authority, by believing in Jesus, by confessing Christ, by repenting, being united with him in baptism, endurance through faith, growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord, being diligent, adding to our faith, putting on the whole armor of God, Ephesians 6:10-18, fully submitting to God and resisting Satan. James 4:7, and we should have spent more time on James 4:7 and 1 Corinthians 10:13. James 4:7 says, resist Satan and he will what? He will flee from you. It doesn't say that he will just stay away from you. It says he will flee from you. I like that. He'll choke you to death with heel dust. Think about that. Choke you to death with heel dust. That means he'll run away real fast from you. That's just an expression. But I like the fact that he will flee from you. 1 Corinthians 10:13, God says he will not let you be tempted beyond what you are able. We can overcome Satan by knowing the truth. John 8:32, obeying the truth and encouraging one another. Submit to God. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. And you know what? Lastly, there is a battle going on. Frank Peretti writes these books and talks about the spiritual warfare going on that we do not see. And he talks about the fact that there's a battle for people's souls in the spiritual realm. And regardless of what you think about his theology, I do think there is a battle going on. And it is for our souls. And everything that we see doesn't necessarily have to be physical. There is a spiritual realm that exists. This morning, this lesson was to convince you, to help you understand that there is a spiritual realm. That there is a real Satan, and he would like nothing better than to trip you up, to mess you up, and to divert your attention from the cross of Jesus. If you need to respond to the invitation, the lesson's yours.